Please pray with me. Living Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this Easter Sunday. For you are our rock, our Redeemer, and our guide along the way. Amen. Amen. Easter is the feast of the resurrection. Easter is at the center, at the heart of the Christian faith. It is a seminal event which birthed the Christian movement, first within Judaism and then far beyond it. It is, for Christians, the center point of the turning world, and it can become the core of our being, the enduring hope that energizes our lives. Without the resurrection, we have a great teacher, a mystic, a healer, a prophet, a preacher, a liberator of the human spirit. With it, we have all these things, as well as the marriage of the cosmic divine with all that is human in the flesh. We have the assurance that in the great arc of history, life conquers death. The light of God's love continues to shine in the midst of darkness, transforming indifference and hatred into action and understanding. And we're assured that the power of justice and compassion will prove greater than the powers of injustice and selfishness. In the context of our lives, we have the assurance that repentance and reformation move us closer to the Lord's desire for us. We have the assurance that our yearning for connection with both God and neighbor becomes the very path underneath our feet. We have the assurance that our unconscious incompetence can become conscious competence, and that both our personal hurts and defeats can be changed by the Lord's transforming power into increased wisdom, maturity, and charity on behalf of the community. Now, the event of Easter was not quiet, it was not polite, and it was not convenient. It was perplexing, as the Gospels say. Whatever happened there, it was dazzling. It was terrifying. It was amazing. It turned the desolate grief of Jesus' followers into awestruck joyfulness. It changed their mortal fear into courage unto death. It changed their self-concern into warm hospitality and self-giving. Easter demanded a response. It changed every calculation, every plan, every idea about the nature of God and life and death and life after death. It challenged the traditional ways that govern how people thought about one another and acted toward one another between social classes, genders, generations, races, ethnic groups, hostility between peoples, the righteous and the sinner, the well and the sick, the well-off and the poor, and so on and on. Humanity's very purpose had to be rethought. Why are we here? What is our part in history? What is God's part in history? How do we even speak of God now? How do we relate to people who want to join this movement, especially those whom we hated beforehand? How do we relate to people who are hostile to this event, who are indifferent to it, who believe differently with their whole mind and soul and strength? Easter was a local event in Israel-Palestine. It became a regional event. It became a worldwide event because people told the story, because people lived the story in ways that spoke to the human search for God, the human search for healing, for wholeness, for meaning beyond the never-ending distractions and busyness of life. It spoke to the search for peace within individuals and between people. It spoke to the possibility of a quality of life rooted in the eternal. Easter can still change us. It can still change the world, if we let that story become our story 20 centuries later. If we allow the story into our life, into our mind, soul, body, everything that we are, everything that we have, if we allow it to speak to our spiritual journey, to our brokenness as well as to our best self, if we allow it to speak to our fears, our desires, our dreams, if we allow it to speak to our decisions, our motivations, our attempts to find our use in this world. He is not here, but is risen. That means that the Lord is not dead. He is not locked into a certain time or place or fixed set of dogmas or a way of speaking about him. He is not defeated by our despair. He is not defeated by our death or the death of our loved ones. He is not defeated by anything within us that keeps us defeated or locked into old patterns that no longer bring life. He is not swept away by economic or political upheaval or by the machinations of powerful people in whatever context we care to think about. Today, he can remain the still center as he was for those first disciples if we let him take that position. It is a meeting between us. He comes toward us. Will we go toward him? It is true, he is eternal and beyond us, beyond our power of description, of understanding, and yet he is also with us in the everyday moments of triumph and sadness, of desire and deadness of spirit, in our moments of boredom, and when we are inspired by our visions about what could be. He beckons us to come. He beckons us to enter his peace. For he becomes our secure friend, our secure place, our Lord. We do not own him. Those of you who have read C.S. Lewis's books know that Aslan was not a tame lion. He does not get captured by us. We, if we allow him to come in, are captured, rather, by him, for a life purpose that goes beyond anything we can imagine. He is not here, but is risen. That means he is on the move. He is not static. We cannot nail him down. We cannot domesticate him. He is not our property. He was always urging us to be on the move with him. We experience Easter only by taking him up on his invitation to come along with him along the path of personal and communal spiritual growth. When we allow the temple of our inner being to be inhabited by the Lord, that's when Easter happens and begins to happen and continues to happen. The Lord gives us the capacity to love the unlovable, to become more generous in spirit, to tear down dividing walls that we and others have built, to overcome our inner bondage and become more fully alive. St. John Chrysostom, who lived in the 4th century of the Common Era, who's the Archbishop of Constantinople, the city we know as Istanbul. His name means the golden-mouthed. He's a fantastic preacher, apparently. He gave an Easter homily one Easter. I want to read part of it to you. He said these things. If any person is devout and loves God, let him come to this radiant feast. If any person is a wise follower, let her enter into the joy of the Lord, rejoicing. If any have fasted long, let him now receive refreshment. If any have labored from the first hour, let her today receive just reward. If any came at the third hour, let him keep the feast with thankfulness. If any arrived at the sixth hour, that is noon, let him have no misgivings, for he will not be deprived. If any delay to the ninth hour, let her draw near fearing nothing. If any have waited even until the 11th hour, let him not be alarmed at this tardiness. For God will accept the last even as the first. God gives rest to the one who comes at the 11th hour as to the one who labored from the first. God shows mercy on the last and cares for the first. Therefore, all of you enter into the joy of your God. Rich and poor together, hold high festival. Diligent and heedless, honor this day. Both you who have fasted and you who did not fast, rejoice together today. The table is full. All of you feast sumptuously. The calf is fatted. Let no one go away hungry. Enjoy the feast of faith. Receive the riches of God's mercy. Let no one bewail poverty, for the fullness of the kingdom is revealed. Let no one weep for iniquities or sins, for forgiveness shines forth from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the Christ's death has set us free. I'm going to teach you some Greek. Christ is risen in Greek as Christos Anesti. Say it, please.
Christos Anesti.
He has risen again indeed is Alithos Anesti. I will say the first, please say the second, and with that we'll end. Remember, Alithos Anesti. Christos Anesti, Christ is risen.
Alithos Anesti,
he has risen indeed. Amen.